And now we've got a gentleman that's going to share his thoughts with us. And I'm very impressed with this guy. I think he's got a pretty good God connection. Now, I wouldn't swear to it because, you know, would you, Gloria? You would.
I would.
You would? You swear to it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not that brave. But he is. He's got a lot of good thoughts, and I think you're going to like him. And I love to hear his thoughts, and I think you will, too. I think you'll enjoy his thoughts. He's very dedicated to working with healing and working for God. And he works at the Rady School up there where they have all those kids, those little kids that's in need of extra doses of love. He's there at least once or twice a week. He's dedicated to that. He's dedicated to representing God to his best ability. And I love him, even if he does have a wife. Bill. Bill Resso.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Hi, Ruth. Thanks for coming. Appreciate it. Tonight, I'm really going to speak from the heart, and it's going to be kind of personal. And if at any point you can identify with any of this, then great. My subject tonight is about intimacy, and it's a subject that most wives and girlfriends love to hear about, and most guys, why are you going to talk about that? But I'm going to take it a different road. It probably will be a little bit different than what you expect. So, as we like to say in this church, giving all glory and honor to God, here we go. I do practice healing, as Gloria does, at Rady's Children's Hospital. And on Monday nights, I go with another couple, Fred and Shirley. And we work on the severely handicapped. These could be lifelong patients. Unfortunately, these are young men, women, children, preemies that will never know the type of life we have, but I have grown to understand them to be some of the most dynamic, beautiful, and highly developed souls that I think I could encounter in this life because they're present. They're really present. They're not obscured with, got to go to work today. Got to do this, got to get a score on my test. They're in and out of their bodies quite often, and that makes them incredibly intimate in ways that I will never know, but I'm learning to observe. So there's one guy in particular, and his age is somewhere between 16 and 24. I just don't know. Can you hear me okay, honey?
Yes, I'm going to turn it up a little.
You want me to turn it up?
Yeah,
I can turn it up too.
Turn yours up, that'd be good too.
Let's turn up together.
Okay.
Here we go. Sorry. So as I've been working on... test 1, 2?
Yeah.
All right. So as I've been working on Billy for a long period of time, you really get to know their spirits quite a bit, even though they don't communicate with words. But there is a form of communication that goes on. And recently, the last two times I've gone in, I felt Billy used to be a vibrant guy within his own spirit, and he had big, big green eyes that he would never blink. And when I would work on him, he would just kind of follow me all the time. And so I got into a habit of just almost getting really close to him, and he loves when I massage his eyebrows. And so when I'm praying over him, I give him a little eye rub, and then I rub him here, and he follows me the whole way. He tracks me, and it's really cool. And there is a life force that goes between us both. And unfortunately, 2 weeks ago I went in, and his eyes have now gone from green to a grayish brown. And I felt a complete withering. And I feel like his soul is leaving his body. And his heart and his energy is depleting. Now, everybody else who goes into the room doesn't seem to feel that. But, you know, I guess you kind of work around it, whatever, but I feel it. And so I asked Fred 2 weeks ago, we healed about 35 kids that night, and I said, hey, before we go in there and walk in on Billy, and just let me know what you feel. I didn't tell him anything. And I gave him a few minutes in the room by himself, and then I walked up next to him, and I waited, and I said, "What are you getting?" And he goes, "His life force is depleted. He's not in his body. He's leaving." The exact same thing. And we felt it in the heart area. So this past week, Monday, we went in, and to me, he had the eyes of a fish that was dying on a dock, if you've ever fished. And I could feel his energy really, really not there. And so I do believe he's in a level of transition if he's not already gone and the physical body is just hanging in there for a while. And that's okay. I do believe that that is totally fine. And I believe that he is being healed and in a better place. But what I take from this is intimacy. It's the intimacy of the souls and our recognition and being knowing that we are completely connected in one way, shape, form, or another. And it shows up in our classes at night when we do Millie's circles and stuff. And one of the interesting things to me is that with a few people, sometimes we get into some interesting conversations about what are you learning or how are you approaching or what are you doing things. And so on a couple of separate occasions with Connie Maria and Udoka, they were asking me, "What do you feel when you're in a circle?" Or, you know, "How do you get information? What do you do?" Blah, blah, blah. And it came down to, what do we pray about? Or what do we think about? You know, what gets us to that point if we can arrive there or as we grow? And so the beautiful part of this was that I was having intimate conversations with class members about a spiritual practice of what we're employing in our lives. Once again, intimacy. And for me, I'm just going to share with you, I pray in detail, and I tend to almost carry it forward daily, a couple times a day. And one of the things that I told Connie was, I specifically pray for clarity. And clarity from the message-bearing point of view is that when I receive some information or if I feel some information, that that information would not be fuzzy, but would give me, not for my own personal knowledge, but an insight into the other person, their general aura or their general energetic field, especially in healing in the hospital. I ask not that I have to know what's going on, but that a healing guide would work through me so that way I could just step out of the way and feel that intimacy of that touch go through me. And Josemon, ay, ay, ay. Did we not have an intimate moment tonight? Beautiful. And it's just incredible what that comes through. And the other thing that we talked about was detail. I want to grow in my spirituality and my intimacy with in detail because it's very, very important to me that I set that bar up here. And I noticed that when I talk about these things and I think about them, that level of intimacy does translate into all areas of my life, whether it be the relationships with my friends or my children or church members, or healing. And I think that's the beautiful part of intimacy, is that spirit knows us intimately, and that translates through our entire lives. And that is one of the specific prayers that I have. In my wife and I were having a conversation a couple weeks ago, or a couple nights ago, and we got on this track, and she says, "What are you doing?" Blah, blah, blah. And we got onto this thing, and I said, "I pray for intimacy with my guides. And I pray for intimacy with spirit." And she kind of like rocked back and she goes, "Whoa, I never thought about that." And I said, "I think it's incredibly important because that's what opens the door. That's what kind of like starts to create the relationship. If I want to be a friend with you, I have to spend time with you. I have to hear you. I have to share my life before, my expectation is I have to share my life before I expect you to share your life. I have to be able to know myself intimately. And as I know myself, hopefully I can hear that God voice coming down and inside. And, you know, as Spirit would have it, I was given this little book the other day as a gift, and I was just flipping through there, and see if this relates in your heart with the question of intimacy. It might, it might not, but we're talking about me. It's not about you tonight. It's about me. So I was never good at small talk. I never have been good at small talk. It just never interested me. I've never been good at small talk, though I've learned to use it to fill up space. And maybe you have noticed the space inside of me that hasn't yet learned to trust. The space that still feels empty when I forget that I am you and you are me, and the only path to intimacy is to open the door I somehow built between the two of us. Is that pretty powerful? It's pretty powerful to me because it's a direct relationship with God. He is the I am. And according, you know, you can use whatever faith you want. I paint my pictures the kind of the way I was raised, so I use Christ as my example. But this Spirit is found in all and many walks and in all people. It's not just for Christ. So I use that terminology because that's the terminology I know. But if you come from a different culture, you may know a different terminology, but the intimacy is still the same. And that's the fabulous thing. And so as we discuss these things, it becomes more and more clear to me in my prayer of detail and clarity and intimacy that Christ really was quite an amazing example of this, because he always said, I know where I came from. I know who I am, and I know where I'm going. And there's a really beautiful verse that Craig turned me on to the book. I got to remember it. The Beloved Companion. It's about Mary Magdalene's gospel. And it says in it that where man sees poverty, Spirit only sees abundance. And it says, I see as the Spirit sees. The Spirit sees as I see. And what the Spirit sees is. Now, because Christ knew who he was and where he was going, it made it very more solidly clear to me that he perfectly was Spirit. I mean, he was very much in tune. He had that intimate thing. My thoughts are your thoughts. I see what you see what I see. But he was also man. Because he walked in the world and he saw all the frailties of man, and he had all the things that we go through, he was going through. And that was a perfect example, because he said, I came to show you the way. And the way was through intimacy. And the way through relationship. And the way is to become transparent and to let yourself go and to fall into a deeper knowledge of who you really are. It is to open the door, as the poem says, because he also says, I stand at the door knocking. If you open that door, me and my Father will come in and we will dine with you. So we are our own gatekeepers. We have the ability to open that door of intimacy as long as we have the courage to truly ask ourselves the right questions and stick around for the answers. However, our days are tended to be filled with too much clutter and too much noise. It really takes a dedicated effort on my part to work on this, people. And I'm not saying that I'm good at this, because I'm not. I'm a baby and I'm learning. But I'm being intimate with you and telling you, this is where I want to go. This is where I want to be. I don't see another way to live my life. What am I going to give my life to? The 9-to-5, the golf course, the sports team. Those are all great things, and I'm glad they're all there. But that's not what I necessarily want to be intimate with. And when I see intimacy, it made me look about further into Christ's life and how he demonstrated this. And I'm going to take it really very, very simple steps. It first appears in the most simple way for Jesus was simple message bearing. Oh, you know what? I saw you sitting underneath that fig tree before you got here. Whoa, how did you know that? I think there was a message. And when he went to the woman at the well, he said, go bring your husband. I don't have a husband. Well, you're right, because you've had five of them. How did you know that? Oh, simple message bearing. Let's stone that woman. Yeah, let's argue and stone that woman. Hold on. I got to write on the ground and write you guys a message. And as he's writing the messages, everybody gets up and leaves. I think he was message bearing. In my heart, I'd like to believe that, because everybody got a message. It affected them. They all walked away. They didn't hang around. But to me, that's intimate. You know, he could look into all those situations, walk up and say something, and that's message bearing. But that you got to be pretty darn intimate to be able to do that on the cold fly with somebody. And then translate that into healing. There was a guy who was blind from birth. It's not like he got a stick in the eye driving his burrow around. And, you know, he intimately knew when he was going to meet that guy and that he weaved that eye open. How could he possibly do that without having that intimate correlation with anybody? And he walked through the streets, and as he walked through the streets, a woman came up and touched his cloak, and phoom, the power went out of him. And he turned around and he goes, "Who touched me?" I fully know that he knows who touched him. But the point being was he could feel power and energy leave him like that. And to me, once again, that was intimacy. So we have message bearing and we have healing. And then he really did a whopper. Lazarus come out of that tomb. And he purposely delayed 3 days before he went to get him. And that's kind of like a foreshadowing of what he was going to do to himself. And he intimately called Lazarus back from the dead. I don't know, does anybody find this amazing? I think this pretty intimate stories of myself when I look at it this way. And then he did it himself. He gave up his life, and then he picked it up. And everybody thought he was dead and defeated. And he says, "Take courage, for I have overcome the world." Well, for most people, their last vision of Christ was hanging on the cross, dead, you're done. They didn't get to know the intimate side of him when he came back. But the reality is, he didn't set up this kingdom of heaven. He didn't give everybody a throne room. But he said, "I overcame the world. I won. And so can you." He said, "The kingdom of heaven is in your heart. All you got to do is start looking inside of your heart. It's not on the outside. It's going to be found as you intimately search for that joy and what's important in your life." So he stands at the door and he knocks and he calls us into intimacy. And I believe to some extent we are a gatekeeper. So how do we open the door? He only had a few simple things, words of advice. "Be still, be quiet, and know that I am the Lord." That's one heck of a good start. So I have to ask myself, how do I get still? How do I get quiet? And many people will say, "I can't shut off my mind. I can't do this. I can't, you know, when I go to prayer, talk, a million thoughts come in my head." And I go, great, and Kobe Bryant could not dunk the ball the first time he picked it up and tried to dunk it either. You know what I mean? And Tesla didn't make a phenomenal car. And when he was going to launch his rockets, he knew that they were going to crash several of them before they were going to get him off the ground. You just don't stop. It's your life. It's my life. Do you value yourself? Can you find the intimacy and loving of yourself to fail and to fail again. It's not failure. It's a walk. You're never failing. Every time you show up to the door, it opens. It's just your measurement that you don't think it's opening. But the door's always open because he never fails. And he says, I know how to give good gifts. All you got to do is ask. We're just too in our own head to think that our asking is failing, our opening the door is failing. But it's not. It's always working. It's always working. We just got to show up and we just got to be a little bit quiet and know that the kingdom of heaven is here. It's not out there somewhere else. So why is that important to me? Because the reality is, for me, as I said earlier, there's no other way to live. I have yet for anyone to come up and tell me if I'm an eternal being, and I know that through the word intimately, that I was intimately woven in my mother's womb, and that he knows every hair on my head, which is lesser and lesser of a task for him as the years go on for me. And I know that he says that my thoughts towards you are more than all the thoughts on the seashore, and that I can do for you abundantly, exceedingly, beyond all that you ever think, hope, or imagine. Well, that leaves a whole lot of room for exploration, doesn't it? And so if I know that I'm so intimately cared for, and he's standing there, hello, hello, let me in, I have to continue to ask him into my heart. And I'm really appreciative of what is happening around me now, because as my friends care to ask me questions, it makes me think about what I'm doing. And then it makes me see my answers in other places just than in the normal expectations of intimacy, like, oh, you had a romantic date with your girlfriend, or, you know, your wife, or you got a card, or blah, blah, blah. The real important intimacy, I really hope for each and every one of you, would be a transformed life that starts as you open the doors to your heart, regardless of what your friends are doing, Riley, what your mates are doing, what your spouses are doing, what your church is doing, or even what I'm saying. The door will be different for each one of you, and that's the beauty of the path. Yet remember, he intimately wove you in your mother's womb. He intimately knows the number of days that you will walk upon this earth. He intimately weaves all the little, coincidences, divine appointments, in your life as you go around. They say that there's an angel over every blade of grass saying, grow, grow, grow. How much more you? Grow. Grow, grow. Thank you for your time.